Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
This is Wayne.
My name's Chad.
This is John.
As of this recording, I am not here. I don't know where I am. On Tuesday or Wednesday or whenever
Caribbean,
I dropped this. Yeah, I'm somewhere out in the middle.
Is it Caribbean or Caribbean?
You know, I've heard it pronounced both ways. I go with Caribbean. In fact, I never heard Caribbean until that movie came out, Pirates of the Caribbean. I've always heard it Caribbean.
I think I kind of use it interchangeably.
I do. I use it interchangeably.
They probably. I bet you.
I never thought about it.
Merriam-Webster, they probably are interchangeable. But I tell you,
we're probably all wrong.
I'm happy to know that I will be gone by the time you guys are hearing this.
Unless a Kraken or Kraken attacks your ship.
No. I told you, one of my life dreams, we've been over this. One of my life dreams is to kill either an alien or a cryptozoological creature.
Which is why you'll be putting your shotgun in your carry-on bag.
Right, exactly. If a giant sea monster attacks the ship, I will put some kind of a weapon in my teeth, dive overboard, there will be an epic battle.
This is dropping after he gets on the flight.
So, if I am on the news, and it's like Dan
on
kills...
the news, in the nude.
Dan kills Gulf Ness Monster.
Gulf Ness.
You heard it here
first. The only thing you've got to risk is your life, and you got that for free.
Precisely.
Actually, I think if you killed something you'd be sued for killing you'd be arrested for killing an endangered species.
Actually, the Loch Ness Monster is on, or
not
maybe
in international
sham.
Waters. Show me the NATO treaty that protects the Loch Ness
One
Monster.
Of the cryptids is actually on the endangered species, so I'm not making this up. I can't remember if it's Champ or Nessie or which one it is. But they basically said, well, it probably doesn't exist, but just in case it does, we're going to put it on the endangered species list, because obviously there aren't too many of them. I'll have to look up which one it is. And if I find it, which I probably won't, because I've got a lot to do before the cruise, I'll post it with the show notes. But the reason I'm so glad to be gone is because of the fact that work has absolutely kicked my ass. And not only am I having a vacation, but most importantly, I'm taking a vacation where I'm unreachable.
Yes.
Because even on my handful of days off, I still get calls and email requests, and I will be gone, completely gone. I am not attainable. And so, anyway, this is what you get while I'm gone.
Our fathers dreamed of portable phones.
So, we dream of you know what can reach you on a boat? The Power 16.
That's right.
The Power 16.
Because it'll reach out and touch you.
The Power 16 is still going on. We're in the second round right now, and it will run.
Boop. Vote for me.
It will run through, I think, Tuesday, 6 Central of the following week, which is what, the 2nd, 3rd of April? Whatever that Tuesday is of next week after this drops is how long that will run.
So this is like a bonus episode.
This is a bonus episode.
Okay, good.
Yeah, this is a bonus episode. For anyone who's not figured that out yet. Like, by the lack of intro music and all that. Mm-hmm. Usual blah, blah, blah. Even though people...
It's still not as good as the Fear the Con one.
Well, we didn't have enough people.
Awesome.
It just doesn't feel like a bonus episode without Dan telling us that we should go listen to a regular episode instead.
Well, you know what? I think I'm going to stop doing that for two reasons. One, we've been doing it long enough that unless you're new to the show, you already know that I always say that. And two, for some reason, people always typically tell us that our weird episodes, the bonus episodes, the roundtables, etc.
Bedtime stories.
Are always better in some ways than our, or at least more entertaining.
They're funnier.
They're funnier. Mm-hmm. They're more entertaining. All right. So what we're going to talk about today.
Hellboy.
Is we're going to talk around an elephant in
Hellboy
the room.
Hellboy is my new chainsaw, by the way.
It's an Elcor in the room.
Yes. There is an Elcor in the
Dejection,
room.
Dejection.
Which
the
is.
The ending of that series.
You may have heard of a game called Mass Effect 3, which came out.
Because nobody's talking about that right now.
All
right.
Now, here's what I'm going to promise you guys up front. But I am drinking Jameson. But I'm going to promise you this up front. Actually, I'm spilling more than I'm drinking.
You've spilled half a bottle of Jameson 12 year.
My Jameson.
First drink.
That was the Jameson that I toasted the Goblins Kickstarter toast level sponsors with.
Yeah,
Dan spilled half of it.
I know. I still need to get that to you and have you send those out. Though also, you didn't get to your last guy. You were done before you got to your last guy.
Oh, I don't remember that.
You got
obviously.
All but one of them.
But okay. All right.
Well, anyway.
Now I guess there's enough there for next
but
time. All right.
Here's the thing I'm going to tell you guys. In this episode, we will not spoil Mass Effect 3 for you.
Why not?
The only thing I'm going to say is something that has...
That would be merciful.
That has reached Snape Kills Dumbledore levels already. Of if you don't know this, you've been living under a rock, and I'm sorry. The ending sucks, okay?
Yep.
That's all I'm
going to... That's one man's opinion.
No.
No. That is the one man who is a cyborg assimilated to become the entire consciousness of the universe.
No, Deus Ex didn't do that.
All right, so here's the thing.
The Geth consensus. Oh. I love that. Calling like a robot collective a consensus.
How about a collective? Like the Borg collective.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean.
You know, actually, a collective is like a bit more practical. They're working together. They're going towards a common goal.
A consensus implies gridlock.
A consensus to me, it's just like, it's not just we're working towards a common goal. We agree.
Legion even talks about that in Mass Effect 2. He talks about there being gridlock in the consensus.
Yeah, yeah.
That they're like struggling to debate things. Which is funny because it takes him hours to do. And yet he says in the course of seconds, he can accomplish like years of thought, which means that basically their political system is more broken than ours. but anyway, we will not spoil.
I don't play Mass Effect.
We will not spoil Mass Effect 3, but it is the elephant in the room.
Unless I drank three more ciders and my renegade dialogue option shows up and I click it, then I'm spoiled.
And you pull a right trigger really fast.
Yes.
Let me just reiterate for the five people who haven't turned the podcast off, this is not a Mass Effect episode, for the love of God.
Well, right. And the reason is we're not going to spoil it for you, but Mass Effect did sort of get us thinking about a topic, which is other Mass Effects. How Mass Effect should have ended. No, it's
assuming direct control.
It is video games that piss us off by going off the ranch. Now, per usual Fear of the Boot form, we'll set some parameters on what we're talking about. We are not talking about games that piss us off because we don't like the game mechanic or it's glitchy or anything like that. We're talking about games that piss us off because somewhere through the line, they take the characters, the plot, the setting, they bend it over a table and set a horny gorilla loose on it. That's what I'm talking about. Now, who wants to go first? Because none of you want to go first. I've got one that's probably got to be the most ghastly, I don't know what the hell anyone was thinking when they made this game example.
Mass Effect 3.
Grandia 2.
Chad, go. Grandia 2.
The launching on a rocket of urine ending.
I've never
played. You got one better? Go ahead.
I've never played Grandia 2. You have to explain.
You
want to
challenge my urine rocket ending? I'll be.
Yes.
Go ahead.
But
go ahead.
Somewhere Pat is shouting and banging a table and like, I've seen this one.
Dan, you go first. You go first.
I have to hear about the urine rocket.
No, you go first. All right. You go first. We'll save the urine.
Mine? Urine first place.
All right.
Don't piss us off.
You're all wet.
My biggest piss off here came from Star Ocean Till the End of Time.
Never played any of them.
Nope.
You're probably not missing a whole lot. Some of the Star Ocean stuff is pretty good. I like JRPGs.
What is the deal with Star Ocean?
What is Star Ocean?
It's not a star.
Star Ocean.
It is not an ocean.
Star Oceans. How do they work? You know what's funny about that whole Juggalo?
Yeah,
I saw matching Juggalo decals today. There's a Juggalo and a Juggalette.
All right. Well, here's the thing. So
in St. Charles County,
Some time I had heard that whole thing. You know, magnets. How do they work?
Yeah.
And I was actually trying to look up something on the internet about a free electron laser because I was talking to a coworker about it, and they had a picture of the device that creates the laser, and if you hovered over it, it's alt tag. You know, the text pops up goes. Magnets. So I'm like, all right, I've got to look up what this is about because I've heard this meme, had no idea where it came
from. KnowYourMeme.com.
Which is where I ended up.
Yes. Miracles.
Yeah, and I chased that back to the Insane Clown Posse video of Miracles. Here's what baffles me about the video.
It's a terrible song by a terrible band.
Everything they question is trivially explainable in 5 minutes by Bill Nye the Science Guy. Or even like Beekman's World in like 7.5 minutes.
Not exactly. Sort of, but not exactly. It's the fact that what they did.
Neil Tyson in like 2 seconds.
Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson in like 10 minutes.
Was the fact that they took something which is basically a call to remember and to focus on the aesthetic, abstract, experiential beauty of life and They made that stupid. They took something that was such a simple concept of, for a moment, put aside analytic truth and see the beauty in the world, and they somehow made it debased. They took such a simple concept.
Rainbows are impossible to explain. Stand in the wonder of natural glory. That is the point of the song.
So, anyway.
I don't want to talk to a scientist. You know, y'all motherfucking lying and getting me pissed. Violent J.
They just...
I am not an ICP fan at all.
I like one song of theirs. Just one.
Santa Claus is a Fat Bitch. No,
the original version of Homies.
Santa Claus is a Fat Bitch. So much better.
I'm sorry.
ICP canon debate. Go. Chad, you were saying.
You two are gay juggalos.
Gotcha. So, anyway.
I'm not sure who you insulted more in that phrase. Yeah. Us? Gays?
Don't probably make fun
not
of
the juggalos.
Probably gays. I don't even know how juggalos. How do they work?
How do they work?
No, I didn't know.
Scientists don't know.
I don't listen to the juggalo. I don't listen to ICP or anything like that. I listen to good music. Anyway, I had to look it up too. I looked it up on Know Your Meme because it was so prevalent for like 3 weeks, and
I've never heard it.
I wanted to get the joke, so I looked it up.
Bought the whole discography.
Yes, got the tattoos, got the tang.
Went to the juggalos.
Fago. They drink Fago, yes. Anyway, and I looked up, one of the interesting things is that there was a commentator on there who was saying...
What is Fago? Blagojevich's toupee?
Fago is like...
Dude, I drank...
Michigan generic soda. It's like Schnucks brand soda Wisconsin
or
something.
It.
I got you.
We had it here in Missouri. I used to drink pineapple Fago.
Okay.
As a kid, all right. I love
one of my best
Fago.
Friends.
I am jealous of the listeners because they can fast forward past the Fago. I'm sitting here between them.
So, does anyone have anything here? If not, I'm going to get back to it.
Right. So, the commentator said that they think that they know how magnets work and they don't believe any of it, and they were just trolling everybody.
Mm-mm.
I walked away basically saying they failed to convey aesthetic beauty without making it sound stupid. I don't know. Anyway,
I walked away thinking they've ironically equated an appearance of nature, appreciation of nature, with stupidity.
I can't walk away. There's too many chairs between me and the door.
Okay, anyway.
Get to Star Ocean.
Okay, so here's the thing about Star Ocean. So this one I'm going to go ahead and spoil the shit out of because it's like a decade old, so if you haven't played it, tough on you.
Renegade
Star
Option.
Ocean Till the End of Time starts off with you are... I love JRPGs, okay? I love JRPGs.
Yes. You love not just any particular era of JRPGs. You love even modern ones.
Yeah.
I hate modern ones. I love the old school. Super Nintendo JRPGs are great.
And as I've said before on the show, it's because one of the reasons is that it's something that Carl enjoys watching. She likes watching the story. I like playing the game, blah, 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 whatever. All right, so I pick up Star Ocean because I'd heard all these rave reviews about how wonderful the series is. And the game starts off, it is far future. You're a kid in a sci-fi setting on a spaceship who, for no particular reason, wields a sword because they always do in Japanese stuff, regardless of what guns actually do to you. And it's all about the sci-fi. And your ship crashes on this world that's in the Middle Ages. Mm-hmm. And apparently they have some kind of like prime directive sort of thing to where... He can't appear out of place. So
except for the giant spaceship.
Well, he ends up hiding that or whatever. Oh, okay. I don't remember the details. But he basically has to ditch that. And through the whole game, you're thinking, okay, at some point, because he was on an original mission. I don't remember what it was. There was an original plot. He gets crashed on this world. And there's people down there. Oh, can you help me with this? Oh, can you help me with that? You've got to run over to this town. I thought it was side quest bullshit. I'm eventually going to get back into space and back on the real plot. Never occurs. 10 hours later, 20 hours later, 30 hours later,
you're slaying dragons and saving
princesses. I am still stuck on this fantasy world, despite the fact that I'm playing a sci-fi game.
Now, all the other Star Oceans were sci-fi games.
To my understanding, I've only played two.
Okay.
The second one that I played was the most recent one, the one that told like the origin story, which I just couldn't get past the voice acting. Some of the characters are so annoying in the voice acting, but the gameplay and plot seemed better. All right. But now, as annoying as that was, let me read to you a plot synopsis taken from our favorite fast food of facts, Wikipedia, on how the plot
McDonald's of knowledge
of this game ends. And I quote, reaching the time gate, the party enters 4D space, a dimension higher than their own. According to the 4D beings, Now, their universe is actually not real in relation to 4D space. Rather, it is a computer simulation developed by Luther Lansfeld, the owner of the Sphere Company. Dubbed the Eternal Sphere, it is similar to a real-world, massively multiplayer online game for the inhabitants of 4D space. If you're not connecting the dots, the characters in the video game are characters in a video game. Going on quoting.
If we're all NPCs in a very elaborate WoW game?
Oh, this just keeps getting better. Fate and his allies learned that the executioners, which were kind of bad guys in this.
I pity my player.
Oh, no.
My job's kind of
your boring. Primary bad guy bosses. Okay.
What
like
if it's such a good game we don't even know we're playing it and this is our escape from our real drudgery job?
What if the player playing you in this massive real MMO is like their world is a state of war, death, and decay?
Dude, I've thought of all this before.
You better hope whoever's playing you is nothing like you.
Why?
Look at your predilection for characters who suffer and die and fail. So
I'm doing all right.
All right. So your main antagonists in this game are these guys called the Executioners. Fate and his allies learned that the Executioners are antiviruses sent to delete anomalies in the Milky Way section of the Eternal Sphere. With the help of Blair Lansfeld, programmer and sister to Luther, the party manages to find Luther. Blair and the group believe that the residents of the Eternal Sphere have managed to achieve a level of intelligence.
So this crap fest is what you're playing now?
No, it's what I was playing years ago.
Oh.
To achieve a level of intelligence equal to that of 4D citizens. Luther, however, considers them mere data, which is what they f***ing are. Luther then decides that the only way to delete them is to delete the entire universe. Apparently he's not good at
debugging,
file masking. Apparently ignoring that he is currently in the Eternal Sphere. The party fights and defeats him.
What happens if you
causing him to be deleted himself?
Oh.
Never mind, he's a real person, but fails to stop the deletion. These video game characters, who are video game characters themselves, the programmer decides the only way to get rid of them is to annihilate the entire game. They fight the guy who built the game. If anyone at Blizzard has ever been attacked by Anixia, like personally attacked, I'm curious to hear the story. And after they beat him, to go on and tell you how this game epilogues, they transcend the video game, and because they were so lifelike themselves, reality just decides to give them an actual reality, and they go to a new plane of existence that's real and not this video game where they live now.
Wow.
You lost me when Luther Vandross came in.
If Luther Vandross had come in.
One shining moment.
See, you had me in the beginning. I thought it was the idea of the spaceship crashing and that you have to hide the fact that you're an alien in this fantasy world. I thought that was kind of cool. But now my head's going to explode from that ending.
I'm telling you, I have never played a game that has an ending that bad. The only reason the Mass Effect 3 one pissed me off more is because I had more invested in the game. This game, I checked out about 5 hours into it. I don't know why I kept playing it. It was like autonomic response. I just couldn't stop. Or maybe it was some deluded hope it would get better. It was the same reason I sat through all of Interview with a Vampire. But when it never happened, that's the ending you get. I have never played a game with a worse ending than that. Chad, you're in Rocket. But I want to hear, is this actually literally a rocket powered by urine?
That would really make interstellar travel.
No, Rocket. Easier.
If I can pee my way to Mars.
There's no rocket.
We have to reclaim the water or we die of dehydration.
There's no rocket noun. There's rocket verb. The characters are rocketed.
Rocket verb.
Let me. So there is.
They're alone.
There is a. There is a really, really wonderful JRPG on the Super Nintendo called Grandia.
Final Fantasy III.
Final Fantasy III and Chrono Grandia. Trigger. And Chrono Trigger. Chrono Trigger.
And Earthbound.
Did you know that Dan did not like Chrono Trigger?
Oh, I'm mortified. Dude, I outed a tech support guy, and this is how I did it. This is an Earthbound story.
Okay.
I'm trying to get like my new credit card sent and get him an email address. It's like Attack Slug.
Yeah.
He's like, I think I remember that. And I was like, it's from Earthbound. And he's like, no, I thought it was from Mother. I've never played Earthbound. And I go, oh, it was called Mother in the Pacific Markets. Your name's not Brian. It's Bhutan. And he was like, you got me.
Wait, let me get this straight. It took you all the way.
He has perfect English. He fooled me, dude.
You gotta say, you called tech support in Asia. It took you all the way to the release titles in Region 1. one versus Region yes. 2 to figure Dude, out his name's a, not Bob.
He was literally a smooth operator. I had my credit card on the way out before he got my gamer handle.
Goodness gracious. For anyone running one of those Nigerian scams, this is how you're going to get him. He'll believe anything you tell him until he outs you on the video
game. You know, what are you going to do for the sake of courtesy? Be like, no, I demand that you give me your real name and province of origin and your caste.
Yes.
It's probably easier. Hell, Aram did that when he was working at a call center.
What, he demanded somebody's caste?
No, he changed his name.
He went by Mike, didn't
he? It was like Mike or Kevin yeah. or something like that.
There's somebody on the podcast that does that.
Well, yeah, that is true, but we can't really blame him for that.
No, we can't.
Huh?
But
oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't like that name getting out. I know Dan doesn't like to edit, but I actually would like that.
I will
edit. What are you talking about, Wayne?
I will edit that out.
I never said it was you.
Actually, maybe I won't edit out. Maybe I'll just bleep over it. Let people guess. People can guess what's Wayne's real name.
All right.
So wait, I'll either bleep it out or edit it out.
Contest
sideways.
Rumpelstiltskin the boot.
If you can say Wayne's real name, he has to return to his plane of origin.
The comic shop.
You're actually the second person I know who has that name. But anyway, I don't even know what the hell I was talking about here.
Well, the urine rocket. No, you still haven't explained to me what this urine rocket
no,
is.
No, there was something before the urine rocket.
I've heard of
no,
the vomit urine rocket.
Yeah. Axe.
This is Fear the Boot. My name is Dan was before the urine rocket. Yeah. And
so
you've been like
yeah.
finding every tangent you can to avoid the story.
I'm not avoiding the story.
All right, fine. Axe went by Bill. Go on. Urine
yes,
rocket.
Yes, Axe went by Bill urine rocket. So, no, anyway, Grandia 1 is just an... You know, somebody who did avoid a subject, Dan did not like Chrono Trigger.
I know, right? What's wrong
Dude,
with you?
What's wrong with
what
you?
What was the one on PlayStation? Was that Chrono Trigger?
No, that was Cross. Cross sucked.
Cross is
That's
horrible.
The one I played.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well, I never played sense. Chrono Trigger?
No.
You owe to played yourself. Either one.
To play.
You owe yourself.
I played the one on PlayStation. I did not play Dude. The one on Super Nintendo.
Dude.
Yeah, I'm going with the dude thing.
Top,
here. You want a game that has 16 different endings rocket. That aren't a palette swap? Yes.
Chrono Trigger. Just to make sure.
You can turn into a dinosaur.
Between Trigger and Cross,
Super Nintendo.
Which one starts off with you at a state fair?
It's the Millennial Fair, and it's not a state fair because it's a kingdom. Okay. But that's on Super Nintendo.
So, all right, then maybe I did play a port of Trigger to the Xbox.
They did that. They did it to the PS1.
They did that.
Okay. You know what? Maybe I didn't get far enough in, but the part I was playing, it was just so unimaginative, storyless, and grindy.
Mm.
But it is possible I just didn't make it very far.
Or maybe you were playing a different game.
I don't know. All right, well, go on. Urine Rocket.
Urine Rocket. So
this
anyway,
is
going to
become part of the Power 64.
The Chrono Trigger trial is why I'm a lawyer.
Really?
No. I lied. I'm a lawyer. Okay, anyway.
So Chrono Trigger, Grandia. Grandia 1 was a wonderful game.
Yes. I got distracted from it and never finished it, but I played it, I enjoyed.
So good.
Yes.
So very good. Great story, great characters, great gameplay. If you beat it, wait till the end of the credits. That game is why I wait till the end of the credits on every game I beat.
Right.
And very, very few of them have anything after.
Just along those lines, spoiler-free thing, when you beat Mass Effect 3, before you put the gun in your mouth, at least sit through the credits because there's a character at the end voiced by Buzz Aldrin, which is pretty damn cool. Go on, yeah. Chad.
Grandia 2 came out, I was really excited about it because I was a huge fan of Grandia 1.
Right.
And a huge fan of JRPGs in general on the Super Nintendo.
Right.
Like Chrono Trigger and all those. So I ran out and I got it. Well, the start of it, and this is not too uncommon for video games, especially of that era. The opening of it, you expect it's Grandia 2. There's going to be some sort of connection with the other game, or it's going to be Final Fantasy where it's just a complete box.
Well, and God knows you got enough
with
room.
A biz and a wedge.
In Grandia 1, aren't your main characters kids?
Yes, they
so
are.
It's not like they're too old to do this anymore.
Right, right. They're kids, and in fact, the story is about them growing up.
Right.
So anyway, the Grandia 2 opens up with those characters from the first game, and I'm like, oh, wow, that's going to have direct reference, right? It's not like a Final Fantasy thing where it's just the standalone box with common elements. So they're standing in front of a bridge. Grandia 1 had voice acting in it, like actual voice acting on the Super Nintendo, which is kind of rare. And Grandia 2 had that also. But
I was surprised by that too.
Yeah.
I really expected Grandia 1 to be pure text. And when I heard voice acting, I was pretty surprised. But yeah. Go on.
So they're standing on a bridge, and then these other characters come over. No voice acting as of yet. Total silence, just music playing. These other characters who look different walk across this short little wooden bridge, and they kind of do that Japanese pixel sprite sort of nodding at each other, like they're talking, you can't hear what they're saying, but their heads are nodding. And then they nod, and then the original characters turn around and walk away and walk off screen, and then the camera kind of recenters itself on the new characters, and then the game starts, and it has nothing to do at all in any way with any of the Grandia. The only thing's the same is that the combat system is similar. No plot, no story, no thematic elements, no characters. Nothing has anything to do with Grandia 2. It just has a sort of kind of similar combat system.
They kind of did that with Chrono Cross and Chrono Trigger.
Yes.
There are connections, but they are very minor, and they don't come for hours.
So anyway, you play the game. The game's not as good as 2 or not as good as 1. It's all right.
Okay.
It's sort of it's very generic. I didn't really think much of it. So anyway, you're following these characters, and I want to say there's 2 characters. I think there's a man and a woman who are the main characters. You have other characters in the party, and there's a thing that happens, and the world's almost destroyed, and then there's a big bad. There's magical powers, but nothing that is earth-shattering magic, right? It isn't like this epic, you summon another planet and crash the other planet down on the enemy and rebuild the earth to be without that enemy, and you know that's your super magic Knights of the Round sort of thing. It isn't epic match like fireball, cure light wounds, whatever. And so you go through this whole plot, and you save the world, you beat the big bad, and it's the ending sequence, and the 2 characters are there, and they're looking at everybody and says, yes, we have saved the world, we have killed the big bad, we have done our thing, cool. And then they launch into the air. Pew! Straight up into the air. And they're going through the atmosphere.
There's no context to this. Setup to this.
None. There's magic in the world, sure, but it's not that.
They've not spent the whole game like researching Urine Rocket to take them to.
No. So they're like from a town, right? They got a family to go back to. When we go, you know, when we defeat the big bad, we can finally go home sort of thing. No, they shoot up into the air. And they're in the atmosphere, and they're launching themselves towards space, and they're spinning around each other, right? They're orbiting each other as they go, and from their crotch is little bright things of light that are coming out. Droplets of urine. If you've ever seen an anime, and you've seen the sort of tinkle animation that is on most animes, the sort of comedy little drop, but it's really a sort of point of light. If you've not seen it, you don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But they had that in this. They were launched into space on urine. And they were circling each other, and then they go up into space, and they just keep going, and then they zoom, and they're out on their urine rockets.
Couldn't it have just been like magic sparklies and not pee?
Except it was coming directly from their crotch.
Well, you know, well, a lot of things come from
I'm more stuck on the lack of context here.
Yeah.
Of they've won, they've got families to go home to, but for no particular reason, they launch upon their urine.
Yes. Into space, and everyone's like, yay!
They're too powerful. Wow. They realize that they're a destabilizing force, and they launch themselves into
this. Suddenly, I understand force in a new unit of measurement. We'll call the PSI.
And yeah, credits,
the P doesn't stand for anything.
Credits roll. The end. That's it. Grandia 2, congratulations. I almost wonder if the ending is probably up on YouTube. You could probably watch it. Maybe this was just some fever dream of my youth. Maybe I'm remembering it wrong. I don't know.
Maybe the ending was so bad. The urine
this
rocket.
Was the better ending my mind replaced it with.
You know, I recall Shepard departing on a urine rocket. Yeah.
My mind is working on that.
Everything's on YouTube now.
Right.
Everything's on YouTube. So there's probably a full 10-hour let's play of this game. But I'm not going to watch that.
Have you ever seen the
short
versions, like, how quickly can I beat this game?
Yeah. And there's I love speedruns.
Oh, the funniest one is the speedrun of, what was the middle of the show? Morrowind.
Uh-huh.
Like somebody beats Morrowind in like 4 minutes. Where it's like just click, 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 through all the dialogue. They grab one spell, fly across the land, land in the demon pit, cast a certain list of spells, and the credits roll.
Wow. There's some really good Mario 64 ones too. Some guys got it down to like 90 seconds.
John, Wayne, come
what?
On.
What ending do I hate?
No,
I think
it doesn't
mean
ending. It does even something happened midway through a game. Something where just a game like up to this point you're like, okay, I'm kind of enjoying this. Like,
yeah, and
then
not,
you had that WTF
moment. And not a game that rhymes with ass effect.
Yeah, I'm trying to think game that happened on. It definitely happened in when I was watching Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, that was about through the
second and a half. Third season, the tonal shift suggests that you don't know where you're going or why you're going there.
Yeah, because
it goes
didn't know
from this hard
going.
Military science fiction to things are starting to be about angels and magic
prophecies.
And prophecies, and it's like what? And there's one breath of fresh air toward the very end when Zarek makes his coup attempt and kills everyone, and then it's back to the angels. Lost kind of did the same thing. They turned
really. I thought that. That's kind of what Lost was all, because I thought Lost was very esoteric. No. I never saw
was
it.
Was very
I
esoteric.
It
was,
so
it was
totally
never
wrong.
Completely explainable, but...
It got magical
they
at the
got,
end.
They got into a cop-out magic end that destroyed the ambiguity. And
yeah, that show, more than any... There have been some bad finales.
Yeah.
Even the Battlestar Galactica finale doesn't come close to how angry I was at the
know.
Lost finale.
See, I don't remember people speaking poorly of Lost in that regard, in regards to the ending. Again, I've never seen a single episode, so I can't comment.
Bad endings for shows I haven't seen, the one I hear the most about is Sopranos.
Oh, yeah, I hear about that.
I never watched that.
Or apparently they just like ran out of tape or something.
Yeah, they did. He looks,
it fades to black.
Yeah, he looks at the camera and it fades to black.
Yeah, I mean, my three worst endings of all time for a TV show would be Battlestar Galactica,
Quantum
Lost,
Leap.
And Quantum Leap.
Yeah.
Those are by far the three
worst. I just want a science fiction epic.
And they're all kind of similar.
A cyclical universe apocalypse that has Trisha Helfer in it. I think we'll call it Mass Star Effect Craft Galactica.
Yeah, John, actually, there was one theme that you mentioned we were kicking this around that I hate as much as you do. One, because it's become a tired trope. And two, just because, I don't know, the theme as a whole just annoys me, which is the cyclical apocalypse.
Yes, the cyclical apocalypse and the return to primitivism.
The
have
idea
been
that
just
this has all happened
crap.
Before and it
yes.
will all happen
yeah.
again. Great. If I ever hear that phrase again, I immediately am. Now hate the story with that phrase because it's so overdone.
Well, it's not just overdone, but it starts to feel pointless. And
yes.
Now you could say, well, the futility is the message of the story.
No, screw that.
Yeah, one, screw that. And two, even if that was the case, okay, that's poignant once. But yeah. When there are so many science fiction things in particular where their storyline is that what you're going through, you think is the first time around, but it's actually the millionth, and it's all going to happen again after you're done. Why did you bother?
Because the underlying irony is that this cycle of apocalyptic cycle games is a cycle, and we can't change it.
Yes, we can change it. With our impotent nerd rage,
yes.
I will shake
apparently my... Apparently, somebody's changing it. You said that Amazon was giving refunds
yes,
back.
There's a mass refund.
Ass effect.
I'm tired about ass effect.
So, all right.
I'm
so
still trying to think of a game that I was liking.
There's no
and
game that's
I
pissed you
off. I can't
think
of anything like that.
You seriously never played a video game that has pissed you
no,
off
I've
for
story.
I've
played tons of them that pissed me off, but I hate them immediately and stop.
Yeah, I can't
I never like them and then hate them unless they're ass effect.
I can't think of any game like that where I really got into it and got...
I don't have
halfway
this,
through or near the end, and then something happened.
Yeah, I don't have this completionist compulsion to like play things I hate. I just leave.
I mean, the closest for me was Arkham Asylum when it ended so soon. I mean, being a very short game, that frustrated me, but
it was a shockingly
it didn't really
short
make
game,
me,
but it
didn't piss me
well,
off.
Well, there's something there about the plot or characters you're yeah. mentioning. It was just
too short.
I'm with you. Yeah, I beat it in like 12 hours, and I am a completionist, and I beat it in like 12 hours. So, I mean, that was pretty sad.
But yeah, I can't think of anything game-wise. I'm not good about actually finishing games. If it starts to get bad or if it gets boring or I just, here's a better game. I tend to drop it and not finish
yeah.
beating it.
Yeah, I am such a goldfish memory that, like, even if I'm liking a game or a book, sometimes I'll just, something new will come out, I'll drop it.
Now, I do have that problem as well, where there's a lot of games that I've been enjoying, and I just got distracted away from and never got back to.
Yep.
Grandia is an example of that. I started playing Magna Carta 2, was enjoying it, at least as far as I got. I wasn't that deep into it. It could suck, but as far as I was into it, I was enjoying it.
I still never beat Twilight Princess. Love the game.
Twilight Princess, I did not beat my first playthrough. I had to come back to it a second time. I stopped at the Air Temple.
That's where I stopped.
And I loved the game. I just got distracted by other stuff. So I certainly suffer from that. I come and go from games all the time. Dragon Age is another one. I didn't dislike the game by any stretch of the imagination, but it took me, I don't know how many false starts before I finally got through the game.
Dragon Age was a game that I got pissed off about, but it was nothing to do with the game itself. Because I'm almost done playing through it my second time, and I had no intention of playing it through the second time. It was because my PlayStation died with the save game encrypted on the hard drive where there was no way for me to get the encryption off when I was right at the last fight.
Was there a cyclical apocalypse in Dragon Age?
And not as of yet.
Every once, the greatest march of the Zerglings or whatever they were, just in the first one, occasionally came, but they were always defeated.
They were always defeated.
There were cycles of blights, but it wasn't an apocalypse.
The blights did not erase society. Okay, yeah. They were just a huge problem, and the problem was there was enough space between them that people didn't necessarily take it seriously by the time it happened again, but it was not ever apocalyptic in nature.
Now, who knows? Part 3 could come out and they could end up doing that to us.
Yeah, that could be their ending of plot if number 3 is.
I highly doubt it with the backlash.
This other game.
There's the green breath dragon and the red breath dragon and the blue breath dragon. But go ahead.
That was the interesting thing about Dragon Age. At the end of it,
I haven't beaten it.
Oh, you haven't beaten it.
I haven't beaten it. It is actually extremely open-ended. There are dozens of endings that are more different than a palette swap.
Yep.
So me telling you how mine ended will not spoil it for you.
Unless you end it in that exact way. Then you'll be like...
And even then you picked it, so deal with it.
John GM Bot! I hate you!
John GM Bot struck again. I died!
This cookie even smell like letter.
Yeah, I put Alistair on the throne.
He's a finished.
He got to the final battle. He got past this.
I am past that.
He got past it.
Oh, okay.
I put Alistair on the throne, and then it came to like,
here's where you or him
have to die. And I was like, well, I'm not going to start the civil war again. I guess I just got to bite the bullet. So there it goes.
You could have slept with the.
I wasn't going to bring the demon harbinger into the world. These are all bad options, except I guess banging Morgan, if you're into that, would be all right.
If you could like bang her to death, then that might be a double win. Otherwise,
you could like get the demon fetus or whatever, have it suck up the spirit of the Zergrush, and then just like throw it down a stairwell or something. I don't know if you can win Dragon Age, or they wouldn't write that in the ending. That would be too avant-garde. There's no apocalypse cycle.
Too avant-garde. It was too avant-garde for Baldur's Gate 3.
Wait, oh yeah.
Let's call a spade a spade here. Dragon Age was Baldur's
Gate
3.
They would have let me do it in Planescape.
I never played any of the Baldur's Gates.
Oh, they even pretty much said during the development cycle that because they had lost the license to the D&D properties, because Baldur's Gate was set in Forgotten Realms, that basically what they had planned for Baldur's Gate 3, they just kind of wrote their own setting for and kind of pushed forward into that. And so I don't know how much of that carried over, but at least some strand of what would have been Baldur's Gate 3 became Dragon Age Origins.
You know what ending of a video game really pissed me off? Spy Hunter.
Dun, 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 Spy Hunter does have an ending. Well, it depends on the version.
Not really.
You die.
Not the original. It just keeps going.
Some version.
Donkey Kong went so downhill on board number 3. I could barely even accept that those jumping pogos were internally congruous with the system of the universe.
So probably I think it's
an oil can with living oil. Come on, I'm trying to kill a gorilla here.
I am tired of your liberal proselytizing and your demonization of the energy companies that power our economy, Donkey Kong. This is a story about animal rights and the...
Yeah, it's about a working man.
And the subjugation of womanhood and the rise of the working class who's wearing red.
You know, if we're going back to regular Nintendo...
And his brother's wearing green.
Going back to regular Nintendo, the ending of a game that probably disappointed me the most. Did any of you ever play Rampage?
Yes.
Yeah.
They had it in the arcade. They had it for regular Nintendo.
That game has an end?
That game has an end.
It has an end. You lose.
So I'm playing this thing. I was in elementary school at the time. I have a regular Nintendo. I leave for school each day with the game paused.
Oh, I did that. Oh,
I come back, turn the TV on.
200 levels of the same thing.
You have to go through. Every state had at least three or four cities that you had to deal with. You go through all 50 states only to finally, after you beat every state, it just probably kind of pops up a game over. I really just spent all this time.
That's a Nintendo. It's an original Nintendo game. What'd you expect?
You know, a week going through all of these cities, destroying every building for a game over.
You know what the ending of Bad Dudes was? Are you a bad enough dude to save the president?
Well, you better be.
Well, you save the president. It says, you have saved the president. Game over. That's it. That's the ending. That's all of it. What do you want? It's an original Nintendo. It was hard. The journey was your reward. The punishment was your reward.
Ghosts and Goblins, the winner is you.
Yep. Nobody but, like, really self-obsessed five-year-olds are even going to get to the end of these games anyway, so... They're like,
we got a kill stream coming up if anyone's interested. How games used to end.
Or people with emulators. That's how I got through Castlevania.
No, that was way before the concept of emulators.
Oh, I know. That's how I got through Castlevania. There's no way in hell.
Save states.
Oh, like wonderful. Most people, I couldn't freaking get past the damn Igors. Yeah. And so basically what I would do is I played Castlevania. As I was running through, it's like I'd make it across the screen. I think F7 was quick save. F7. Mm-hmm. I'd make it across street.
It's called
F7.
That's called save scumming.
Yeah, the minute I got
that's
hit.
It's called being a gooch.
Quick reload. No, it's called I got to see the end of Castlevania. This is probably also the only way I would ever see the ending of Battletoads without in YouTube.
I was going to say, you know how I saw the ending of Castlevania? YouTube.
Yeah.
I actually just tried to watch the
ending. I got there before YouTube. I beat the game on an emulator in 1997. This was before, to the best of my knowledge, YouTube existed.
Yeah,
2005.
I just tried to watch the ending of Grandia 2 just to see if I was remembering it
right. See if they, like, launch on a fecal rocket.
Well, there's an ending video up. I'm sure there's a more specific one, but it's a 6-part boss killer video like 10 minutes a piece, and it's just like
the boss, the final boss is 85 forms. Hate that.
I mean, that's pretty standard fare for Batman.
Oh, it is. It still is standard fare in a lot of JRPGs. The boss has 35 final forms.
So I remember when I got to the end of Final Fantasy VII the first time, I had never played a game anything like that before.
Yeah.
I didn't even know there were optional characters you could pick up, so I didn't have any of them. So when you get to the end and they're supposed to split you into two parties, one party fights the first bad guy. I didn't have enough people. So the first party fights them, gets most of them, you know, some of them get wiped out, and then I go into the next fight with a beat up group of people that have spent all of my potions.
Phoenix Downs. Use them. I bet you didn't even revive Aeris by playing the game 9 times.
Wait, actually,
only
a different
Gooch
problem.
Doesn't revive
only,
Aeris.
I mean, this is so true. True in AOL People Connection. Everyone has done it.
Final Fantasy VII was the first JRPG I played through in its entirety. And when I got to the end of the game, my first playthrough, I was playing it on a ported version on the PC. When I got to the end, I could not beat Sephiroth because I didn't understand the JRPG concept that you have to be pretty heavily powered up. I just couldn't defeat him. So then I just picked it up again. Well, not just, but years later, I picked it up again.
Guess who's going to see that on Friday?
I am. You guys are going to see it on Saturday, I thought.
Oh, is it Saturday? Yeah.
Carl and I are going to see it on Friday, so not you. But
not John.
For anyone who's not clear, we're talking about Nobuo Uematsu's coming to the St. Louis Symphony to do Final Fantasy music this Friday and Saturday. Well, last Friday and Saturday as of this dropping. So that's the last thing I'm doing for my cruise. But anyway, the second time I played it through some years later, I had everybody all maxed out. I had the highest overdrive where he
hits.
Which
game?
Final Fantasy VII.
Which one's that? Cloud?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Where Cloud uses his sword like 25,000. Like, it's like you make a sandwich and come back.
Omni-slash.
Omni-slash. And
Omni-slash, Knights of the Round, Mimic. Good night,
Emerald. Didn't even
weapon.
Need to do that, dude. I got to Sephiroth with overdrive set up, Omni-slash ready to go. It rolled initiative or whatever. I got the first action hit, Omni-slash, killed him in one attack.
I've got bad news for you, Dan. That's how the last fight with Sephiroth is scripted.
No.
Everyone does that.
I know it is possible.
Your limit break meter just fills up.
You know what happens if you get there without Omni-slash?
You do it anyway.
No, you don't.
he does a quad slash or something and kills him. I don't know.
I died. Oh, I could not get
you
past.
Lost to the third phase of Sephiroth in Final Fantasy VII?
Yes.
How'd you do against Glass Joe back in the 80s?
First time I played, I didn't get to the third phase. I died on the second. So,
are you playing with Final Fantasy VII with the power glove? That doesn't work. It's so bad.
Well, since Wayne and John apparently don't have a whole lot to add to this episode.
Hey, we told you ahead of time we didn't.
No, Chris told me ahead of time he didn't. And
I didn't like the boss fights in Deus Ex, and I didn't like the ending.
Chris never has
anything. They apologized for those Deus Ex
boss
fights.
That was nice of them. They were stupid.
But no one has apologized to me for Deus Ex 2.
What's Deus Ex 2?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so, all right.
I am a prototype for a much larger system.
So, right now, I am happy and far away from home. I hope you guys are happy.
What if you're not happy and far away from home? What if they don't have any carrot cake aboard the cruise? What if they have banned cigar smoking?
What if there's no Indonesian eagles?
What if there's a revolt on the ship and they've thrown all the booze overboard? And what if they have closed down the casino?
What if someone tried to take a liquid aboard your plane and you don't even get to board?
That's actually my bigger fear. You know, I'll tell you, my biggest fear about the traveling is I hate flying, not because I'm afraid of flying, but you have no control over it. Whether your luggage arrives or not, whether you get there on time or not, whether you depart on time or not, you have no control over any of that. And our plane is arriving a bit too close to the ship's departure for my taste. And so we have like no room for problems. So I guess
they're early.
I guess as of this episode dropping, I may be back at home and really agitated and
angry.
You
can either worry about it or you can have like 7 kettle and tonics. I know what we did on our cruise 3 years ago.
John,
I'm going to tell you what to do.
Same way I got through the Ennies.
Valentini?
The Valentini.
Shaken, not stirred.
Alrighty, so anyway, thank you guys for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this little flight of fancy, and we will be back next time to talk about, I don't know what the hell, what. Oh, Setting Bloat. Maybe we'll talk about Setting Bloat. I still have that guy's points in escrow. I will decide whether they're earning interest or not based on how I do in the casino.
Oh, yes, his internet points.
Yes.
Man, those are building up.
Well, they may not be. It depends on how I do at Blackjack and Craps.
Okay.
I will peg his escrow to my returns. So,
let's see how Dan's going to do.
We're not.
Okay.
John's rolling this out now. All right. So while John tries and predicts how you're going to do.
No. I'm just trying to roll an 8. Jeez. Okay. Forget about it.
So, yeah. All right. So anyway, you guys have a great week and all that stuff. And we will catch you next time. FearTheCon5.com.
Peace out.
Oh, my God. JC, a bomb.